Mr. Worldwide to infinity. You know the roof on fire. We go boogie, oogie, oogie, jiggle, wiggle, and
boogie,
dance.
Boogie, woogie, oogie.
Oh, I thought it was, but it's still playing? Sexy motherfucker.
Shouldn't be. Give me your, I'm fine with it. I'm grooving. Moving.
That's not what I'm
dancing to the music.
But that's not what I wanted
and that's
to
when
happen.
It hit me. Somebody turned around singing.
Ugh. I'm a bad boy. Give me some candy.
All right. That was fun. That was off topic as fuck, but fun. Good stuff.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff. That was fun. I feel like, yeah, that's what the new show is. It's less focused on just about the beer. It's more, you know, more of a combo, modern podcasty type ramble show.
Mark Maron's done.
I don't care.
Okay.
Sorry,
I haven't really followed up into as to.
Did you listen to what the two to what the book? So if you've never listened to it, then
no, I've listened to WTF several times, but only when I cared about the person I was talking to. So
I've listened to a few times, but I've always like does like a 30-minute intro where I don't care about, and then gets to a guest, and sometimes it was interesting, and sometimes it wasn't. I just kind of got bored and stopped listening.
I'm listening to an awesome audiobook series right now. Have you heard of Dungeon Crawler Carl?
You told me about yeah.
Oh, we talked about this? Yeah. Okay.
We talked about, well, we didn't talk about this on the show. We talked about this at the
So allow me to talk to the three people listening in the post show.
What are you doing?
You should listen to Dungeon Crawler Carl.
It's a post show.
Dungeon Crawler Carl. No one, it's okay. It's a post show. I'm going to go pee here in a second and I won't be on the show.
Rude. Anymore.
Sorry, you want to start over?
Should we cut all this? Yes. No.
All right. Cut it all. Cue the music.
No.
Cue the music.
Stop it.
Bump, 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 bump.
She got the boots with the fur. Bop bottom jeans. Burp, 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 dooper, dooper, deepy, deepy, doo.
Motherfucker.
Give me your attention, baby.
Oh, it's the Bo Show, everybody. We were starting again.
All right. Hey, welcome to the post show, everyone.
Hello.
All right. Dungeon Crawler Carl. Everyone should listen to this book. It is too cool. It's
The book that...
Yeah, you've heard bits and pieces to it.
Well,
it's fun. It's the premise. I can't even really talk too much about the premise without like spoiling some of the early spoilers. But it's kind of this... It's like reading a book or listening to an audiobook about playing an RPG. Like Dungeons and Dragons or Skyrim or something like that. But it's set by a real human on Earth and his pet cat. And it just keeps on expanding.
Is his pet cat a bitch?
It's Princess Donut. She's a
princess. Is she a bitch?
No. But she doesn't like dogs very much. It is fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm on book 4 or 5 right now out of like 7 or 8. And it's a great premise because what I can talk about is it's almost like Diablo where you're in a dungeon going down levels. And as you go down each level, there's a different premise. So the author can just have fun with the next level. But then there's also the universe outside of the dungeon, and there's some interaction with that.
How does time work when he's in the dungeon?
How does time work?
Like, is it the same time he's in the dungeon versus with the outside world?
Or he doesn't really get to leave the dungeon except for when he's doing press.
Oh, he does. Oh, so it's
kind of like Truman Show. It's kind of like Running Man, Truman Show, Survivor.
Running Man is better because he's aware that they're recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he only gets.
Which reminds me, I saw a preview for a new Running Man versus Glenn Powell. I don't know if you saw that, but I think it was for the Naked Gun. That when I was watching that, I saw the preview for that, and it looked.
But it's
I don't know the
different how each level
the original Running Man was so perfect at what it was trying to be.
Each level is basically a different it's almost like a different world, right? So the premise can be completely different. So
I'm sure it's a video game, lava world.
Yeah, so you don't know
world. Yeah.
But also some core tenets of gameplay can change and stuff like that, right? So like you might think, okay, I get the pattern of this, and the next level is going to be the same, but in a different town. But it's not, you know, it's different. And then you add in the dimensions of outside the dungeon, and there's fun, snarky, irreverent stuff like the achievement boxes and stuff you get, like everything you do, like you do, you get
loot boxes. In the
game. There's loot boxes, yeah. It's fun.
It's clever.
It's really fun. It's in the genre of lit RPG. I guess there's other ones. I'm not familiar with any other lit RPG, but literature, role-playing game, novel.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's good.
Speaking of fun, have you guys been watching any Dropout?
No. We haven't been watching too much of much.
So you
guys,
don't
even have the television hooked up here.
I did see on YouTube Shorts where Sam was tricked into being...
We have to watch that.
Yes, I want to watch that.
Yeah.
Because I saw a short where Sam was tricked into being on an episode of Dropout. And I don't...
An episode of Game Changer, yeah.
Or Game Changer. And I didn't... It didn't spoil enough to actually show what it was like.
It's so great. It's so great. I think you guys would love it. And it made me really happy for making you again watch that episode with Brendan in it, Yes or No, because it plays off of that a lot.
Well, I saw the short about this. I'm like, shit, I need to, because I told you when we moved here, I tried to log into Dropout, and I wasn't going to ask you for your password again. I was going to subscribe. And then when I tried to subscribe, it told me that I already had an account, but I couldn't get in. Like, and then that friction, and then I got on to the next thing, and I never got back to figuring that out. Uh-huh. So,
plus, we literally haven't hooked the television up here.
Really? You know, it's just
still sitting out there in the front.
It's out on the front porch.
Well, let's bring it in and let's watch some Dropout once this is done.
It's going to go in. We're going to hook it up in the basement. We're not gonna.
We can hook it up tonight. Lean it up against the piano or some shit like that.
I'd love to watch it with you guys.
I want to watch it. Yeah. We will watch it tonight. As soon as we finish this show.
We can watch it downstairs because there's a lot of couches.
Yeah, we can lean it up against the one part.
Yeah.
Of it. Yeah.
And put it on the fireplace mantle. Do we have a mantle on that fireplace?
I don't know.
I don't even know.
I don't know.
But we'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then actually, if I hook up the Xbox, I'll probably be able to get back into Dropout the same way we did before.
Yeah.
With the Xbox code, and I say, hey, Greg, give me your 6-digit code, and I can just...
Yeah, we can sign in with me, it's fine.
The one time here we tried to watch Dropout, we tried to do it on a computer, and I needed a login password. I wasn't going to ask you for your login password.
Of what Dropout shows have you watched? I'm curious.
A lot of the Game Changers. I told you we were kind of working backwards chronologically.
We were
watching the most recent seasons forward in the season, but backwards in seasons. I watched a little bit of the RPG one. Dimension 20. The one where the dirigible steampunk one. I watched
Cloudward
Ho. I watched some of that. I watched that with Allie, hoping, like, trying to, like, see, because she DMs, you know, so I thought she was into it a little bit, but not, like, really into it.
The best one, Starstruck.
Okay.
That's absolutely the best one they did. So if you're going to do anything, watch Starstruck. Starstruck is fantastic.
Yep. And then we've watched some of, I can't remember the actual names of the games, but the PowerPoint presentation.
That's Smarty Pants. Which I think is their, like, most... Like, they started with basically, you know, Dimension 20 Game Changer are their flagships. But another one that's been running for as long as this thing's around is Unactually.
We've watched some Unactuallys.
Which is the game show about, you know, correcting stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think those are their three sort of flagship. Dirty Laundry.
I haven't seen that one.
Which is, it's sort of... kind of never have I ever type thing.
Okay.
The drinking involved. The Smarty Pants is a show that was the most like developed and like well realized out of the gate. You know, it's just people giving funny presentations to a crowd. It's a fun little lark.
Ooh, excuse me.
And That is, yeah. So I think Smarty Pants is a good show to watch. I do think Make Some Noise, which is essentially Whose Line Is It Anyway. So
that's the one I can't remember the guy's name. It's the black guy's the host of Make Some Noise.
No.
Okay.
If he knew out of way, if he's host, actually.
Oh,
okay. Make Some Noise is also hosted by Sam.
Oh, Ginger. Okay.
Make Some Noise is basically their Whose Line Is It Anyway. It's mm-hmm. So if you want to see more of that kind of stuff, you know, short form improv with prompts. Yeah.
Okay.
It's there's good stuff there for sure. And then there's Very Important People, which is Vic Mikaelis, who I love, does a character interviewing a bunch of people who then who get a bunch of weird makeup on. They don't know what it looks like until it's revealed to them. So,
oh, is it in the you have to guess who you are?
Well, they don't know. Well, the thing is that they get dressed up. They have to close their eyes and they don't know what they are until suddenly it's revealed who they are, and then they have to make up a character.
Oh, they make okay
and. Do an interview.
Okay, I was thinking more of it was you had to. It's probably a Whose Line game where, you know, the interviewer is asking you questions, and based off of the questions you're getting, you have to figure out who you are.
That's not the game now. The game is more somebody just is dressed up in a way they have no idea what they're going to be. They get a lot, like a huge amount of like prosthetic makeup in most cases, or in some cases, like ridiculous.
Which one's this?
This is Very Important People.
Very Important People. Okay. Sounds fun.
It's fun, but I feel like it's there's something missing. Like I'd love to see, like I think it's a lot of fun to see them play. But these interviews can be hit or miss. I think it'd be really fun to see like a round table of characters that can sort of bounce off each other. But that's a lot of work for the like three times extra work for the makeup people. So it's probably not feasible on their budget.
Yeah,
Gastronauts is the cooking show.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen that.
Yeah. The most recent one, or one is of the most recent ones. Is that
still in production?
Oh, yeah. They did one with them, Freedom Boys, which for those of you who are fans of like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Tompkins, they already have a rapport together, so it melded really well. And they sort of didn't take it very serious at all, which was perfect. And what else is there? So then there's Part of the Room, which is a bunch of different... It's new... They only have one season of, but it's a bunch of tabletop games that they play. So you can, I think it's a good way to like, oh, this is be fun. They do play like.
I saw the one, I think I saw, they play Codenames in one of them.
I don't know if they play Codenames, but they'd play, they played Taboo. They played.
Oh, it was Taboo. That's what it was.
House on the Hill.
Yeah, I saw the Taboo one.
Yeah. So. There was one that
one of the characters that, or one of the participants did really badly in that.
Yeah, which was funny.
Yeah,
because they're these are improv comedians. They do. What else is there? In terms of what stuck around, they tried to do like a Mythbusters type show. It was awful, but it's okay. You know, they're experimenting. They're playing around trying to see what hits. They're now that episode. You wanted to watch an episode of Game Changer with. Joe Jackson, right?
Oh, we saw that one. Yeah.
They made that into a show.
Okay.
So there's a show called Crowd Control, which is basically that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a fun... It was a different game changer for sure.
Yeah.
And I could see how that could be its own show. You remember that one?
No.
It was a game changer. Josh Johnson was on.
Oh,
they were taking prompts from the crowd.
I do remember and that one.
There was some like earnest people in the crowd. There was some plants in the crowd, I think, right? And at least in that episode. It wasn't...
Yeah. I don't think that show is not fully realized yet, based on what I've seen of it. But I don't know. They're working on it, so you know who knows. I think they're doing a second season, from what I understand. So we'll see more of it. Dropout. The prices increase a little bit. Although those who are like me who have been in it for a while still have the old price, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But. Only a little bit, not a lot. Like only about $1 per month if you were doing monthly, and they you know it's worth supporting these people because they're making good.
Oh, show. Yeah. No, Game Changer is so good.
Yeah.
So
you want to try some of
the? Yeah, I do. That's what the glasses are for.
All right,
I'm ready. So I should tell you.
Talk about your process here.
Oh yeah, talk about it.
So I got this little kit from my dad. For my birthday, which is do your own gin. And it's got some bottles and some ingredients. And the idea is you take some neutral spirit. I chose vodka because why wouldn't you choose vodka? It's the most neutral of the spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And you then have a bunch of different ingredients in little, like, kind of test tube thingies. Mm-hmm. And the first thing you do is do some juniper for a day. And then you do some other ingredients with the juniper for a day. And then you pour it out. And you have your gin. That's it. That's all it takes.
That's it?
Yeah. I do a little bit of crushing in the... Mm-hmm. It doesn't take much.
This would be a fun thing to do for a morale. Like a virtual morale event.
Yeah. And so you get, you know, this is, I think this is Tito's vodka that I use here. So it's like $19 for a 750 milliliter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably about a third of the vodka was used in this. So this has hibiscus in it. This has, what is it? It says hibiscus. It has, of course, juniper, like three tiny sprigs of lavender. So I don't think there's going to be much in there. Orange peel, crushed pink pepper, kebab pepper, a few coriander seeds, and one green cardamom seeds. Like I said, this is only infused for, you know, a day for that stuff. And the juniper was 2 days.
Okay.
It
smells delicious.
It smells good. It tastes good. I mean, it's very junipery. I would think if you go around again, I would say I would pull back on the juniper and add more citrus and things like that to it.
Yeah, I think that could work. Yeah, this is my first time tasting it. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little heavy on the juniper. Yeah, this one. Yeah, I'm playing around with the amounts.
Okay,
so it's about a tablespoon and a half of juniper is in this. So I'd go with probably just a tablespoon.
Yeah, I think it's pretty strong.
Yeah. But yeah, then I think it's pretty smooth, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love the color that hibiscus gives it more than anything else. Hibiscus gives it this nice, really red gleaming color. And if you think like a juniper, like, you know, or gin like this would cost like, if you got a fifth of it would cost like what, $50?
Something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once you refined it, once I had a little better balance.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those Castle and Key gins we got, right, were light on the juniper, and they were really volatile in the other herbs and some, like, you know, orange peel, lemon peel stuff.
Yeah.
Those speak to me. Those are my ballpark.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I think I'm going to use more orange peel. I think I might try to see if I get some lemon peel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might include more of the peppers this time.
Yeah. Do you know how regular gin is made versus what you're doing?
No.
Because it's different. Okay. So regular gin is made in its own still. So they do it with unaged spirits. So they do a mash ferment, right? So they have kind of beer. They call it beer, but, you know, it's...
Yeah.
And then they have a gin still. And at the top of the column, they have a basket full of all the botanicals. So all the alcohol vapor passes through the botanicals, then it's stilled out. So that's how they infuse in real gin, is when the alcohol is vaporized.
Interesting.
And the vapor passes through the botanicals.
And then they...
I didn't know that.
And then they condense it, that's and cool. You just get the...
I mean, maybe like your Empress with the purple stuff is different. You know, maybe they do some aging.
I love that Empress. Yeah.
But regular straight up gin... The botanicals are in a basket above the column, and the alcohol vapor passes through it, and then it's condensed.
Yeah.
So it's a different process. You're still making a very comparable product, but it's not how, you know, distilleries make gin.
It's pretty good.
I mean, pretty decent for just fucking around.
Yeah. That's cool that you made your own.
Yeah.
No, I mean, for turning Tito's into this, yeah, that's a win. And it's your first batch. And, you know, we all know that's a lot of juniper. Next one won't be that much juniper. Mm-hmm. So
Very cool.
And you can really, you could do a bunch of really small test batches and stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. You also, you know, infuse vodka if you just want to make like a vanilla vodka or something like that, you can do the same thing.
I would try. So Tito's, I'm not a fan of Tito's vodka.
No, it was just cheaper. It was a cheaper option that wasn't like the super cheap.
It has a, there's something about the flavor of the Tito's that I used to be a big vodka drinker. I would get Svedka.
Well, I do think once I dial in a good recipe, I'm going to get a better vodka. And
well, I think you'll be able to dial in the recipe even better.
You think so?
With that one. I do. I have any Svedka.
I just don't want to spend too much on the vodka while I'm dialing in a gin recipe.
You can buy a smaller bottle of the Svedka.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't think it's any more expensive than the Tito's. Look and see, but I'm pretty sure that it's, may even be less expensive than Tito's.
Okay.
But I don't think it's more. Anyways, I would try it because it's got a very smooth, like you can drink Svedka, or I can drink it just straight.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no bitterness to it.
What's
there's
it made
no
with?
I don't know, but I isn't the Tito's a potato?
Tito's is wheat. Tito's
wheat. Okay.
I can't remember. I got a potato vodka specifically when time I got caviar, they said, make sure you get a potato vodka. I specifically had to find a potato vodka for it. And it was fine. It wasn't really that different. So I think the advice was dumb. But it was harder to find a pure potato vodka than I expected.
I have had it, and I had the worst hangover with that one. Well, not the worst. The worst was with tequila when I was in my early 20s. But that was a very long time ago. Oh, shoot. Don't do that. You're not breaking that out.
I wish I had the blossoms.
What is this?
Well, you're going to have to figure out how to coat the glass or something.
Okay, so when we were up at Maker Camp, we had a friend.
One time at Maker Camp.
It's definitely one of those stories.
One time at Maker Camp.
Every part of Maker Camp.
This isn't a drug or anything like that.
No.
Have you ever heard of Buzz
Blossoms?
You ever heard of Buzz Blossoms?
Yes.
Have you had
a Buzz Blossom?
I've never had them, but I know what you're talking about. These have, they almost like electric sparks when you're talking about.
They're like pop rockets on steroids.
I don't have the blossoms. I do have sugar infused Buzz Blossoms.
Yeah.
He said this is good to rim like an old fashioned glass or something like that. Because it's like if you just, I mean, we can put it on the.
Well, I don't know how you'll do it with that, but.
It's going to be hard, but.
We'll do it on the. How about we finish this? We'll make a drink. We'll put that
make
on
it old fashioned.
Yeah, we'll do old fashioned.
We
definitely.
We even have
can I have a little, can I have a little taste of it?
So, what you really want to do is kind of like. Kind of, it's about contact time, so just don't swallow it down. Kind of rub it on your lips, put it on your tongue. I don't know how potent this is compared to the whole thing. I haven't had the sugar yet.
No. I know that the blossoms
but contact
had
time
us all spitting.
But eating and chewing up the blossom, it tasted like a battery.
Yeah.
And then after the electric shock...
Oh, okay, yeah.
After the electric shock wears off, your kind of mouth just buzzes.
It's similar to Szechuan peppercorn in some sense, and that numbing thing you get, but instead you're getting a needly thing.
Pop rocket.
Yeah, pop rockets. Yeah.
The blossoms are pop rockets on steroids. They're
intense. It tastes like you're just rubbing a 9-volt battery on your tongue.
Because I just had that, and my tongue is going. Not in a painful way, but just in activated.
So for the listeners, these are just flower blossoms that a buddy of mine grew. I think I might try to grow them too. That's pretty cool. But they're used for it's kind of similar to Novocaine. People use them for toothaches and like indigenous peoples or whatnot use them for toothache and stuff like that.
Well, I would say the good comparison is Szechuan pepper, where you get that numbing effect on your tongue.
But when you chew a blossom, he's like, give it a hearty chew and spit it out. And with a hearty chew,
you have a choice.
With a hearty chew and spitting it out,
it made a lot. It made the gin even come more alive. With the buzz on my tongue, the flavors also like bounce out.
Okay, Yeah, with a hearty chew of an actual flower blossom, it tastes like a Dynavolt on your tongue. And then after that, like that kind of electric acid flavor wears off, your mouth just buzzes for another 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like it's a buzz. That's the only best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's as if there was a thing going, the tiniest little needles. Mm-hmm. That they're not piercing the skin or anything.
Oh, the blossom is, I'm sure, so much stronger.
The blossom was so really strong, stronger. But it's God, I mean, how do you describe it? But a buzz. It is.
But like
it has that static, like static on an old TV kind of effect.
Yeah,
it's almost like you can hear the buzzing. Like yes. It feels like.
Yeah, there's a synesthesia thing going on where you feel it popping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But Travis said that this stuff is really good, like on an old fashioned rim.
I believe it
as you're drinking it, because it kind of gives you.
It'd be also great, I think, on a
good old margarita.
Yeah,
margarita.
Could do Negronis with it too.
Negronis, yeah. So the funniest thing was when we all did this. There's like what? 8 or 10 of us out there, probably 8 of us. And it wasn't quite dark yet when we did that. I think it was still daylight.
Yeah.
Daylight. Yeah. And, you know, he said to just spit it out after you take a good, you know, bite. Anyway, you don't have a choice but to spit it out. And funniest part was, and I don't think you saw it, Jeff, me, Jess, Sarah, the three of us for sure, we ran to the side closest to the road, and we're all like spitting it out because we're like dying and gagging, and it was disgusting. And it looked like, and a car is driving by really slowly and watching us as we're, it probably looked like we're all vomiting.
So I asked Travis the next day, I'm like, can I get 3 of those buzz blossoms for this, right?
Yeah.
And he left them up at the main pavilion. He didn't have any, but he's like, here, take this. And he gave us all this infused sugar. So
it's nice.
Yeah.
So this reminds me of, and the gin kind of reminds me of, my father has never had like a cocktail. He's tried cocktails. You always have been too boozy, too much. So I brought down when I went down for Labor Day weekend. Remember Memorial Day weekend? Memorial Day, right? That was the most recent one. Yeah, Memorial Day weekend. I brought down the green chartreuse. I made a last word. Super fresh. Probably the best last word I ever made. And, you know, with the instruction, do not gulp. To a tiny little sips of this thing.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's one of the best drinks we've ever had.
Nice.
So yeah, no, it was awesome. Like you get a nice, you know, I use Hendrix, and then it's like Luxardo and the green chartreuse and super fresh lime. That's strained. That's so good.
Similar story when we were in Tennessee. So pre-story to the story, before we went to Tennessee, there was this listing on Facebook of people trying to get rid of shit after the estate sale. And there was a cart that I wanted for the shop. There was some furniture
that I wanted,
that Shannon wanted. So we went, and stuff was practically free. Our truck looked like the Beverly Hillbillies truck. Like
it really
stuff
did.
Was the tailgate was down. Stuff was hanging off the end of the tailgate.
It was straps piled holding up it on above the
above top. The cab of the truck. Yeah. So much stuff. But in finding all this stuff back in the basement in this one little room, which was where the furnace was and the Pittsburgh potty, there was
Pittsburgh potty. You have to explain that.
Yeah, Pittsburgh potty. Okay, so real quick, Pittsburgh potty. Pittsburgh's a blue collar steel mill town. It's common to put a toilet in the basement. It's typically a toilet without any walls around it.
In the middle of the basement.
Sometimes it's around. It's the sewer drain. Like it caps off the sewer drain. And there are some benefits to that. I won't get into all that detail. But sometimes they're in a room. This was a furnace in a toilet, like in the room, and stuff was piled up to almost the ceiling in there.
And I don't even think they know.
There was some furniture in there.
Was there.
Like the estate sale people might have put the crap in there. I don't know. But there's a couple pieces of furniture that I thought she'd want. So we grabbed those. And then there's these heavy plastic totes. You know, I'm like, oh, I could always use these really good industrial storage totes. Pull out these in storage totes. They're filled with liquor, like liquor from like the 80s.
That still had those tax labels on
them. Yeah. Remember how they used to have those little tax stamps?
It's different than my original imagination, which is just that it's filled with liquid.
Oh, no,
liquor from the 80s.
In the bottles.
Yeah.
So, like, there was a couple of the Jim Beams from, like, the Bicentennial, like, 1976 Bicentennial, like, Jim Beam bottles. That's some good Beam. I got some out in the garage.
Well, that's like, my dad had a container, like, a thing full of old liquor, but none of it was good. It was all, you know, old stuff that none of it looked like it was any decent quality of anything.
And this stuff, the mold, there was mold on the labels and stuff. I washed it all off. But there was this bottle of tequila from Juarez, Mexico. No name tequila, and I took all of this estate sale liquor to Tennessee. I'm like,
to give to my kids.
What was it?
I thought he was packing liquor downstairs, and I thought he was getting good stuff, like the good bourbon. Some I said, make sure you grab some good bottles of wine, you know, stuff. We get there. I wasn't paying attention to what he was packing because I was making sure that I got the shit that we needed.
Yeah.
And we get there and he starts pulling the shit out and I'm like, are you serious? My kids aren't good enough for the good shit. You're giving them this old estate sales shit.
I thought you were going to say the old estate stuff was good stuff, but no, you're saying
turns out.
So we started making these margaritas with the tequila from Juarez, Mexico, and fresh limes and simple, and they were the best margaritas. We ran out of the 80s tequila and started using Cuervo, and it just was half as good. Like,
yeah,
it was the best.
It was crazy how different, you know, the taste was just.
Yeah, because you're dealing with a commodity versus something that was not made as a commodity before.
But it seemed like bottom shelf stuff. It didn't seem.
It may have been. But it was also probably just done in a different way, you know, made in a different... I mean,
made in the 80s.
Yeah, made in the 80s.
So that was really good stuff.
Yeah. Do you remember when liquor bottles used to have those little stamps over the caps? Usually red?
You don't?
No. I mean, I don't think I paid much attention.
They did it up until like the mid-80s. But I don't really remember it at stores, but I remember it like at my parents' bar.
See, my parents, like you said, my parents did not do liquor, so I didn't
know. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I open up a thing, and there's all these booze bottles with stamp taxes. A lot of them are open, but they still have the tax stamp over the cap. And I was like, Jesus Christ.
They're old.
But yeah, because my parents didn't do liquor, that's why it was like, okay, how do I show that cocktails are good to somebody who has a lifetime of sort of avoiding cocktails, maybe one or two cocktails, never liked them? And I said, okay, well, let me make for you a cocktail that I think is fantastic and that it's going to cost me a little bit of money to make, but
yeah,
is...
I don't think I know a single person who everyone.
No, you did. You know, because you met my dad. So,
Right. Other than you're surprising, because sure, there's people that drink shit cocktails from Applebee's, you know. But
he said, he's had when he was in his 20s and 30s, he had cocktails one or two, but he never really got into them.
Okay.
And he just was not his thing. And it was like, well, you just probably never had a good cocktail. And so I made him a really good cocktail, and yes, he thought that was delicious.
One of the best cocktails.
Mm-hmm. What was it again?
Last Word.
The Last Word.
You've had one.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one that I had them make out at XYZ Bar too.
Oh yeah.
But it was my best Last Word that I've ever made.
That's cool.
So it was really tasty, it was.
What do you think made it the best? Was it the limes?
The limes is a big part of it. Like the lines being super fresh and felt and strained.
Yeah.
And I think also using a good quality gin.
Yeah.
Using Hendrix. and it was just. Also, it was you're taking these little tiny little sips because it would mm-hmm. like just completely fill your mouth with flavor. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to have much, tiniest little bit. You know, it's not like a beer or wine. You're taking these little like drops
from the Tennessee trip. Because I was working with what I had from the estate sale stuff. There was, some old Captain Morgans. And I started making, instead of dark and stormies, light and stormies because it was white rum. I'm really into dark and stormies right now.
Dark and stormies are fantastic. Like, I think that anybody who would drink a Moscow Mule, don't do a Moscow Mule. Just do a dark and stormies. It's the same thing.
I had that conversation yesterday.
Yeah, we did.
It's just better.
Yeah, rum is better than vodka, especially playing with those flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dark and stormies are so good.
What was it, a week or so ago when I asked for I wanted an old fashioned, and you're like, I'm making dark and stormy. And I'm like, well, can you make me an old fashioned? I'd rather have an old fashioned. He came out with a dark and stormy for me anyway. It's like,
I would definitely pull a dark and stormy instead of a meal, but if somebody asked for an old-fashioned,
I wasn't going to make two different cocktails.
Yeah. I was just going to make a double of the same cocktail. You enjoyed it. You said, like, oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it'll do. You ended up buying me an old-fashioned last night because I never got my old-fashioned. But they put chips of ice in it and a whole slice of orange.
A whole wedge,
yeah. I'm like,
I'm okay with that.
But they used the Luxardo cherries.
I think dilution helps an old fashioned.
They made it.
No.
We went to this bar up in Butler last night and it was surprisingly good.
They had
two brewed gentleman beers on tap. They had a headhunter. They asked her what kind of bourbon she wanted in her old fashioned.
I wanted four roses, but the bottle was gross. And she said, I'll go get another one from the basement. And I was like, I didn't want to bother. She was busy.
But they had Luxardo cherries. They had, they made it right, except for the ice chips. I think
and the whole slice of orange.
But the slice of orange doesn't necessarily ruin the drink.
The ice
chips made it dilute super fast.
It did. And I don't like that. I almost don't even need a big ice cube in it, mm-hmm. But I like it in it.
You guys want an old fashioned with some buzz sugar on it?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
I do.
Are we going to go down and do some drop out?
Oh.
Yeah, we can.
Wait, we got to tell you before we stop the post show real quick. Yeah. Greg needs to know.
What's he need to know? I don't know what you're talking about.
You're pregnant.
At Maker. Yes. I'm pregnant.
Oh, God. Who's the dad?
Who's the mom? No, last weekend at Maker Camp, we karaoke'd.
Mm-hmm. In spite of ourselves.
In spite of ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And we were, I drank an entire 36 ounces of liquid.
Liquid courage.
Oh. Yes, that's what
I'm. Oh, you weren't that drunk.
I drank my Yeti cup.
Okay,
so that's 32 ounces. Right. The Yeti, I think.
When we did it, we actually did the year before. But it was at the very end.
No one was like paying attention. Didn't want to do it, but this time we were like 10th or 9th or something.
Oh, this was like a bar.
It was under a big pavilion
with 80 people around.
Yeah, the whole crowd of people watching.
I wanted to do,
and they were cheering us. I think they loved it.
I really wanted to do that Amigo Did the Devil song, but I just didn't think I had the right vibe. No one would recognize the song. I'm singing kind of dark lyrics. Like I thought it would be cringy, so I didn't do it.
Then next weekend, going to Boston to do a karaoke night there. It's weird because I'm not really feeling it. I don't know what songs I want to sing.
Pink Pony Club.
I'm gonna keep on dancing at the Pink Pony Club. I mean, I'd be happy to eat it, but I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out, like, the last time I was there, people were like super into what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, how do I do that again? And then I have to top myself.
Don't top yourself.
No, you don't.
Just have to make it another good time. You just have to
have fun.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like, I'm in service of the party. That's my number one rule.
Yeah. But no, just think about it as just having another good time.
Yeah.
Do your favorite standards again. No one's going to remember that you did them last time. And if they did,
I will.
If they do, they'll be like, oh, he's doing a good song again.
Yeah.
Don't be imposter syndromed.
It's not imposter syndrome. It's just I want to keep doing.
Well, don't get into your own head. Just
maybe I just feel bored if I'm doing the same thing over and over again. So I feel like, well, I want to do more.
You're great at karaoke, so
I'm okay.
No, you're great at it. So just have fun.
Yeah, I will have fun. I'm just trying to think, like, what do I want to say? What?
Think some Eminem.
But I could do Eminem, but I don't know which one is. Like, I mean, Without Me is the one that comes to mind. That or Business.
Fly me to the moon.
I don't think Eminem sings that.
An old standard like that? Yeah. You know, do an old standard.
Nah.
It's not unusual to be hurt by anyone. It's not unusual to be hurt by anyone.
I don't think anybody.
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa!
What? Oh, there was. Oh, she. Where's those books she got? The piano books.
What?
She bought some piano books. You know, and one of them is Lumineers and whatnot, but she bought another one full of just like other songs. And What's New Pussycats? One of the songs. It's great. Like, it seems so out of place compared to, like.
For those of you who haven't heard John Mulaney's bit on What's New Pussycat, highly recommend you do John Mulaney. I think John Mulaney Diner. Yeah, What's New Pussycat? Let It Go.
Yeah.
25 or 6 to 4 is a fun time, but it's not much. I mean, it's just we're playing the song as opposed to singing, and not much there.
You've got a friend in me.
Yeah. Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
It's all about the bass, Meghan Trainor.
All about that bass.
Easy. Piano songs.
Easy piano. Yeah, these all look very much four chordish songs.
Thing is, I grew up playing a woodwind, so like this bass clef and playing multiple notes at the same time just breaks my brain. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I just can't.
It's been a while since I've read music because I did clarinet.
Like, here you're playing four notes on your left hand, right hand, and one note on your left hand, and like. Practice, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, any of these could be good with practice. What's on here? Leave It on a Jet Plane. I like that song.
You should sing that one.
Eh, it's not fun to sing it. It's a downer.
It's kind of a sing-along.
I'm thinking of a different one.
On a jet plane.
I'm thinking
don't
of,
know
I'm
sorry. Where no, I'll be
I'm thinking, of, I'm thinking of a different song. I'm thinking of In the Old November Rain. Which is a downer.
Oh, no.
Not November Rain, but in the cold, in the cold something. Yeah, it's a good song, but it's a downer. The Prayer from on Stairway is here.
Yeah.
Stairway to Heaven is in every piano song, though.
Yeah. I remember the last time I was in Boston, there was this. We didn't do karaoke, but we did this thing where this guy who goes around to bars and sings like standards, and the other people sing with him, and he brings a book and. There was a song that got played. I was like, I don't know this song. My sister was like, you don't know this. This is the Beatles song. And I was like, that doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know this song. But I did. What did I get him to sing? The one that I was like, you should sing this, but he said later, and then he didn't realize what it was. He probably would have done it at the time. Was Oscar Mayer Wiener. I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener.
Oh my gosh.
But did, oh yeah, we did Yakety Yak.
Okay.
Don't talk back.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. The whole bar sort of sings along.
So. Yeah, for sure.
Greatest love of all.
The greatest love. Is that song?
Because
the greatest. Yeah.
There was a weird thing. So the book I was talking about earlier, The Dungeon Crawler Carl, one of the ironic, jokey things in the book is that one of his skills is he can make a trap. But if he doesn't make it at his crafting table, it's an alarm trap, but the alarm is a top 100 song off the Billboard. But he can't pick it unless he's at his crafting table. So he makes one on the fly, and it turns out to be Rock of Ages from Def Leppard. Right.
Rock of Ages.
And, I hear this on the way up to Maker Camp, and then I proceed to hear Rock of Ages like that afternoon. Which I haven't heard it in like years.
Every five hours.
There's a name for that phenomenon. I think it's recency bias, where something that you wouldn't have tracked otherwise, you track.
But I heard Rock of Ages like four times this weekend, like last weekend. You know,
yeah.
It's like,
yep.
Yeah, recency bias. It's the same as like when you get a new car and then you find out everyone else drives your car.
Oh my God, this car is everywhere. Like, yeah, I remember I didn't know, like, my dad kept talking about how Jaguars were amazing cars, and he kept pointing them out, and I never knew what they were because I didn't know what to look for. Finally, he got one, but maybe he got it as a company car.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird story, backstory. Anyway, but then all of a sudden, now that I knew what Jaguars looked like, I could see them on the road, and so I was like, oh, hey, look, there are Jaguars around. I never knew. But yeah.
Yeah, so I heard Rock of Ages a whole bunch. Like, I hadn't paid attention to that song for years before it was a joke thing in this story that I was listening to.
And the other thing that people misunderstand about randomness is that randomness does not mean that something happens and it's a long time and something happens a long time. It means that shit sometimes gets bunched up together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If it's not clumpy, it's not really random.
Yeah.
So, yep. I don't know. What do you want to do? I think we'll watch some Dropout.
Yeah, let's watch some Dropout. You gotta watch that.
Have a buzzy old fashioned and watch some Dropout.
Yes, let's do that.
Or a fuzzy.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
See y'all.